right. Well, it certainly has been good to have, I know for Brother Jordan as well, has a lot of family that's in town, and I know his mom and Starla's parents are here, and good to have all my kids together, and that doesn't happen for us too often. And I remember when Daniel had left New Guinea, I felt like my right arm fell off. He stayed an extra year when he finished high school to help me with the ministry there in New Guinea, and I knew he was doing a lot with me because everywhere I was, he was. But you realize it when he's gone. How much the workload increased. It's like even today, he just sort of picked up. I came in today, he's straightening my office. All the bridesmaids use my office. It was a complete disaster this morning when I walked in my office. And so Daniel straightened it up. He goes, he's grabbing stuff. Dad, let me go get the sign. The sign says Josiah and Rachel. He was out there doing that. And I appreciate it. I appreciate his heart to serve. And he's always been that way. And I'm thankful he's in the ministry. And I'm thankful for all my children. That is of the grace of God. That has nothing to do with me and Marianne. I'm so thankful, though, that at night when I go to bed, I'm not wondering what my kids are doing. I know right where they're at, and I'm so thankful for that. Having two of my three daughters up here singing in that with those ladies right there. My other daughter who just got married, we had fun with her yesterday, too. Brother Jordan, where's Jerry Jordan at? Oh, he's upstairs. We had fun with him. We were cleaning up, and we realized they didn't sign the marriage certificate. Forgot all about that. Yeah, so we had fun with that. So it's been a few hours. Jerry comes down. I'm sitting in the back, and we call him up. And I'm yelling, "You're not married yet. You're not married yet." So that was fun. We still haven't told him it's all right. No. That's right. Daniel, why don't you come on up and preach for us?
Well, it certainly has been good to be back here. It's been a while. I'm not sure how many years it's been. I guess I was here. 2012, I think, was the last time. And I praise the Lord that the Lord has given me a great wife, Heidi, here, and able to bring her here and get to meet everybody here. And we have Enoch now. We're just with Enoch now. we're not noticed very much anymore when he's around, but that's okay. And it's good to spend time with Mom and Dad, of course, to see a lot of people here once again. But let's turn to the book of Luke, if we could. We'll get into the message here. I forgot to ask, how long do you normally go to, Dad? When I'm done, okay. All right. I won't be very long. We usually don't go too long at where I'm at in Maine. We should mention... I work with my father-in-law is the pastor of the church we're at, and praise the Lord to be at that ministry. It's a small town, small ministry, but just learning some tremendous, tremendous things working under my father-in-law. He's a tremendous man of God, and it's just been a great experience there, and get to work with a lot of things very similar to when my family was in New Guinea, being such a really small town, small place. In the beginning, it was like the villages. Everybody knew everything about everybody. We kind of have that same feel we're at in Maine. So a little bit like home, but a little different still, though. But so let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 8. And I'll just read three verses, starting in verse 16. Luke, chapter 8, verse 16. Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Let's go ahead and pray one more time before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, dear, thank you so much for having this opportunity to look at your word. We pray that you would work on hearts now, as Brother Wright just prayed. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit and give me the words to say. You know that there's nothing I can do to speak to hearts, Lord, but that is the work of your spirit. And we just ask your blessing now. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to look this morning at the secret life, our secret life, and how that affects us being a light into the world as we are commanded to be. We're going to look at letting our light shine before men. I believe, if I have this right, Dad is or has recently preached the book of Matthew. You've probably heard messages on the light of the world, Matthew chapter 5. We will mention that this morning, but we'll look at what the light is, what the purpose is, and how we let the light shine, and what it's for, and who we shine it to, and kind of an introduction laying up to the main point of the message, and getting to the key to letting our light shine before men. It's a very large responsibility that we have in this world to let our light shine. But the Bible teaches us, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us very clearly that there are a lot of things we have to have in place in our life. There are a lot of things that have to be right in order for us to fulfill that responsibility of letting our light shine before men. And so to kind of lay a foundation here first, the Bible tells us what the light exactly is. The Bible says that we are the light as Christians, as we've mentioned. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord tells us that we are the light of the world. Ephesians 5, verse 8, I'd like to read this verse. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light." The Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. In the Lord, we'll look at that in the Lord in a minute. Christ is also the light. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 1, how Christ is the light of the world. In John chapter 12, verse 46, the Bible tells us how Christ is the light of the world. And we are the light because Christ gives us that light. In John 8, verse 12, let me read this verse quickly. John 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We are the light of the world because Christ, who is life, who is the light of life, gives us that light at salvation. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ makes us that light. You cannot be, that's the first step. You're not going to be a light to the world unless you have that light yourself, through the work of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross and receiving him as your Savior. Christ gives us that light at salvation. As we read, we were once dead in sin. We were walking in darkness. We just read that verse. But the only way to get that light is through the Lord Jesus Christ, to come out of that darkness that is in this world. And it is amazing to see. It seems like the world is getting darker and darker and darker. It's a mess, of course, but I like to read old books, like old authors. It seems like they thought the same thing too, 200 and 300 years ago. They say, you know, the state of our country now is such a wreck. And their divorce rate was like 2%, something like that. But nonetheless, we are in a very dark time. And all the more we need to be knowing how to, we can responsibly be a light to the world. And first and foremost, we have to be that light from Christ. Light is life, the verse we just read tells us that. And John 1:4 talks about how the light is life that we get from Christ. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read a verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, tells us about a little bit about the gospel here. It says in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So the Bible here calls the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, the light that the devil is working to blind the eyes of the lost, blind the eyes of the world to the light of the gospel of Christ, the light that changes us, that gives us life, the Bible tells us. The Bible also tells us about the purpose of the light. The purpose of the light primarily, well, Matthew 5, verse 16, I'll read this verse. Turn to a lot of different scriptures this morning. Feel free to just listen. But Matthew 5, verse 16, Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the purposes of the light here is to glorify our Father which is in heaven. And this is the primary purpose of the Christian life, is to bring glory to God, our Creator and our Father. And also, along with that, and we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, you know, the light of the gospel purpose is to bring souls to the Lord, to win souls. And the Lord uses us when we are lights of the world to accomplish that purpose as well, to bring others to Christ. Not going to be a very effective witness to someone who is in darkness. You go to them and say, hey, I've got this great light that you need. I've got to show you about it. And they're like, where? I can't see it. You look, you're just as dark as I am. We have to be different. We have to be the light of the world in order to show them the light of so the gospel can be effective. We have to be showing that light. And the passage we read in Luke 8, go back to there now. That's one of the points it's trying to get across. In Luke 8, verse 16, if we're going to be the light of the world, well, we have to show the light of the world. It says, no man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. It doesn't do any good. You cannot show the light by hiding it. We have to show light. That's our responsibility. And we'll get into the key to showing the light, though. The Bible tells us different ways of what showing the light is, how we can do that. Well, we don't want to hide it, so how can I show that light? And practically speaking, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we didn't read that verse, well, when we share the gospel with others, we're showing the light of Christ, being separate from the world. We kind of touched on that in Ephesians 5, 8. 2 Corinthians 6 talks a lot about that, is when we are just being different from the world by living according to God's word that automatically makes us different from the world, well, that's showing the light. And that's our responsibility of doing this. And so we're just kind of going through these things quickly here, laying a foundation. I'm sure the majority of people here have a very good understanding of what I'm talking about right now. But the Bible says in Matthew 5:16, the verse we read, having good works. That's how we show the light of Christ to the world, by following the example of Christ and having good works towards others. And it is not to be covered up, as we read in Luke chapter 8. The Bible tells us of different ways that we can easily hide that light. We can cover up that light. And as we mentioned, being separate from the world is necessary for that. Well, if you're worldly, as 2 Corinthians talks about, the light's going to be covered. You're not going to be very effective in showing that light. Like we said, if you're just like the world, it's not going to work. And I'm going to read one more verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Go back there again. I should have stayed there. The Bible says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. One of the ways that we could hide the light of the gospel is by preaching ourselves through pride, through exalting ourselves. You know, it's not preaching my own righteousness, how great I am, the great things that I've done. That's not going to help anybody. That's not going to help anybody to be forgiven of their sins and go to heaven when they die. But we preach not ourselves, we preach the righteousness of Christ. And that can be, we have to be careful though, that's very easy to do that, to hide that light through our own pride, through preaching our own selves too much instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us, it's to be shown to others so others can see it. And God will be glorified in the end when we do all these things, souls come to Him and God is glorified. Back to Luke chapter 8 now. So we know what the light is and how we're supposed to show the light and we're not to hide it and it's our responsibility to do this. And in these verses we read in Luke 8, 17 and 19. Let me read those once again, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take ye therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So the secret things one day will be made manifest, the Bible tells us in verse 17. These two verses here, Christ is teaching us about the key to being the light of the world that he mentioned in verse 16, talking about showing the light and not hiding it. And then he immediately goes into speaking about one day the secret things are going to be made manifest. One day our secret life is going to be known. This is going to be judged one day, going to come out. First thing that I'd like to mention in regards to this, though, is hiding the light of Christ. There's no point in keeping that a secret. You don't need to keep the Lord Jesus Christ a secret. Now, the Bible says that one day the secret things are going to be made manifest. One thing we need to be fearful of is, are we keeping that a secret to those around us, to our family, to our neighbors, to our coworkers? Will one day they'll be before the judgment seat of God and perhaps see us on the other side of that guy kept Christ a secret from me? One day that's going to be known. All secret things will be made manifest. One thing we should definitely be making manifest right now is if we do have Christ, we do have the light, be making that known. Don't let that be seen too late to someone who needed to hear that from you. That's going to be revealed one day, obviously, that we have Christ. We need to be revealing that right now. It will be shown if we had decided to hide that one way or the other. And the Bible does tell us about this. See, in Luke 9, verse 26, the next chapter over, the Bible says, 9:26, it says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the angels." The Bible tells us here there will be some that will be ashamed in that day. If we are ashamed right now to tell Christ, our shame will be only greater than in the day when that will be made known. When the Lord comes in his glory, we are ashamed of him now. It will only be worse, and Christ will be ashamed of us then. And remembering that future, remember the future of the coming. Christ talked about when he comes in his glory. And for the Christian, that's one of the big keys, is having that eternal perspective on life. We're always thinking about Christ one day is coming in his glory, and it's going to be real, and I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be his servant in his kingdom, working for him. Live now as if you're already in God's kingdom, living for him and serving him. That's how we can prepare for that. All things done in secret must glorify God, just like those things that are not in secret, seen of men. Matthew 5:16, we reread that verse. Talked about glorifying our Father. I'm just going to look at that once again, read it once again. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So our good works, they glorify our Father. Those things that are seen by men, the light that is shown to men, those are, we're supposed to glorify God in those. But also, all those things that are done in secret, those must glorify God as well. Can't be fake with it. The Bible tells us, if you read it, verse 17, "Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." And of course, the Lord knows our hearts. The Bible says that. The Lord knows our secret life. We can't, the Christian, if you have good works on the outside and worldliness on the inside, something that you're keeping secret, that you're hiding on the inside, it's not going to work. And it's not going to be worth it, hiding that. The Bible tells us one day that's going to be seen. It's going to be made manifest. Everything will be. It's the secret life that matters. If the secret life is not right, if our hearts are not right, if our secret life with our spouse, our relationship with our spouse is not right, then our life, our light to the world is not going to be effective. If our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we'll get into that, how this is the key to all this, if we do not have that relationship with God that makes that secret life what it is supposed to be, you will not be an effective Christian. You will be one of those that Bible says you will be ashamed when Christ comes. And this is a very this is something that applies to every single Christian, every single person, that we all need to be thinking about, that we need to realize. Verse 18, this verse here, it says, let me read it once again. It says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What does this verse mean? Well, this is, first says, take heed therefore how ye hear. This is, pay attention. Don't just take this to mean on the outside. Christ saying, he said, I'm talking about the inside, the secret life. Pay attention to what I'm listening to, Christ says. It says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. But when all things are revealed, and the secret things are made manifest, whosoever hath, him shall be given. Those who have the secret life, right, they have the spiritual life. The secret life is right. They have righteousness, and they're what they should be. To them shall be given. They'll be rewarded. Them who hath not, them who the secret life is not what it supposed to be. They don't have what they're supposed to have on the inside. From him shall be taken away. What's going to be taken away? Well, I believe Christ is talking about here that fake outward image that you seem to have on the outside, that's going to be taken away someday. You're not going to have it anymore. All things are going to be revealed. We won't have that. And so even that we seem to have right now, when we're living a life, a hypocritical life or a life of deception, when our hearts are not right with God, yet we're faking it on the outside, even that fake image, even that's going to be taken away from us someday. We truly have nothing. Walking in the light, showing the light to the world, it consists of having that life in our secret life. That, then it will be shown on the outside. We won't even have to worry about, you know, making sure that everything looks right on the outside, you know, just so that people think just the right things. You've got the secret life, right? That's going to happen automatically. And you won't even need to worry about it so much. You focus on the secret life. You focus on what's on the inside. And that's what matters. I remember growing up, Dad used to tell me, he used to tell me that true character is what you do when I'm not around. There's a few times that caused me to stop and think. A few times it didn't, and I always regretted that. But that's very true, though. You know, that's what the Bible is teaching us here. What you do when no one else is around. What we're talking about, the secret life. That's true character. If we want to glorify God, that's what we have to have right. Really looking at it in that light, outside things really don't matter. You can have everything right on the outside. You can have all the right standards. I'm all for standards, but those really aren't that important if your heart is not right with God. It doesn't matter. And I think back to when I was in college, you know, it's easy to follow the rules on the, well, sometimes not so easy, but at least to look like you're following the rules, you know, on the outside. But it's hard to have a good attitude about following the rules. Like, you got to make out all those passes to go off campus. That, it's easy to get a bad attitude about that and to follow them with a wrong heart. But it's the heart that matters. But if we want to glorify God, we need to walk in the light. We read a verse in John 8:12 that tells us that. And the Bible's telling us how. We have to have the secret life right. What's going to be made manifest one day? That has to be right. Spending time with God. The Bible tells us how to get this right. It doesn't. That's the wonderful thing about God's Word, about the Bible. It doesn't just give all these lists of commandments, do this and do this and do this and do this and end right there. This, here's how you do it, and here's what you do, and when you do it. It's amazing how much detail that the Lord gives us. He shows us how he truly cares for us, and he really wants us to follow his word. He gives us so much in here, so much help in here. The Bible tells us how to do it, how to get our secret life right. It tells us about getting our relationship right with God. You know, and it's just as simple as starting off having your devotion and making that real. And that's it's always, and I speak from experience. It seems every other day, it's like, man, this isn't real to me anymore. You know, it's so easy to slip in that. But that's the key, is having that personal relationship with God in our devotion, in our prayer time. That's something for me, it's a struggle. The Bible says, I was just reading again, and where the Lord is teaching on prayer, it says, you know, praying with vain repetition, but. And he gives us the pattern of prayer. It's, again, it's like every other week. Boy, you know, I've been saying these same 10 things the last 5 days in a vain repetition again. And it's not real. but prayer. That's how we draw close to God. That's how we learn about our Heavenly Father. When He works in our heart through prayer, that's the best times that that I had when I was in Bible college. It's almost, as I look back to the time, these times is my most fond, where I learned the most. Wasn't in the classroom, wasn't even in my ministry necessarily, but the hours spending in the prayer rooms in the dorm. And that's where, you know, excuse me. That's where I learned about the Lord. But that's the key, is when we God can do so much through us, and to us, really, when we will take time to simply get along with Him. And He will excuse me. He will totally change your life. Well, but this is what we're talking about, though, is having that secret life right, and that alone time. What do we do with it? Do we spend it with the Lord? Psalm 119 actually speaks quite a bit about this. I hope this evening to preach from a passage in Psalm 119. Really enjoyed going through that the last few months at our church in Maine, and we'll look. It talks a lot about our mind. Talks a lot about our relationship with God, and hopefully we'll learn more about that tonight. It's all about, you know, denying the flesh and putting the Lord first and growing in Christ, and we'll see that tonight. But the Bible has, it's all throughout the Bible, getting the secret life right, the secret things that will one day be manifest, getting those right. And the help that God gives us in order to do this is the hope. We already mentioned this once, but the hope that God gives us of the future, thinking about that. That's been such a tremendous help to me, is learning about that in the Scripture, and specifically looking at things like the parables that Christ taught. Like in John 19, he gives the parable of the pounds and how the king went away from the kingdom for a time, and he gave pounds to his servants to watch after, and two of them did what they were supposed to do, and one of them did not. And then he returned, and they were judged accordingly. And it was a great example of this, how one day everything's going to be made manifest. You know, that servant who took his pound, took his talent, went and hid it in the earth. You know, it was revealed what he did and what he didn't do. And that's going to be us one day. One day it will all be made manifest. And the Lord wants us to have this right in order so that we can be that light unto the world, like we talked about in the beginning of the message, spreading the gospel and glorifying our Father through that, and others seeing our good works through that. This is the key. If we do not have this right, then we will not be effective in that. I'm done with this message. I thought of something when I was sitting before I came up here. Last time I preached this message, it was actually several years ago when I was in Utah, where Heather is now working. And a friend of mine, his name is Jeremiah. We were little friends when we were little kids. I remember him sitting in the back when I was preaching this, and he had this real funny look on his face, and he just looked disturbed the whole time. And afterwards, he wouldn't talk to me for a while, and it just came out a year ago or so. He's in prison now for a long time. His secret life wasn't right in any way. And it's being made manifest now. Some of us, that will happen. Some of us, it won't be till Judgment Day. But it will be made manifest one day. But I will end right there. God, if you...
Amen. That's very true. It's not It's not what you can put on the front that's here that counts. It's when you're, again, you're home alone and nobody else is around. What are you then? What are you then? With heads bowed and eyes closed,